recording. Yeah, I love that it because I don't have anything on the screen. It asks me, "Are you sure you want to start recording?" Like it thinks my podcast sucks, and it's like, "Are you sure you want to do this?"
I mean, it's a fair question.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. Welcome back to the Wolverine Patrol, everybody. The most podcast to ever and we have a soundboard now.
Tim, my goodness.
Yeah, baby.
Some real
camp. Yeah. Woo! I'm drunk with power and also regular drunk. Well, welcome back to the campsite, everybody. It's the Wolverine Patrol. It's Tim with John and Jack, once as per the usual. And according to the weather rock outside, it's a little snowy. So how's everybody holding up in this cold weather?
Well, the rock is gone. It's just the pillar of ice where the tripod used to be.
Damn, you're so right.
Yeah.
One giant icicle now.
The weather icicle.
The other morning, so like every morning I get up and I go out and I let my chickens out, right?
Yeah, as
and
normal people
the other
do.
Morning, it was so cold that I opened up the coop door and all the chickens were like all huddled together and they just looked at me like, "Nah, dude, we don't have any business out there." Nope.
Damn.
Yeah. That is a first.
They're like, "Nah, we good. We good." They're not like, "Oh, thank God."
Like, I tried to give them food. Not interested.
Damn. Oh, man.
Their bodies were just shutting down so they didn't need as much oxygen and they can just kind of, like, stay warm.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I mean, it was frigid.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine they were pretty miserable in their coop. So,
yeah.
Well, I'm glad everybody is surviving. I'm glad the chickens are okay. So, man, we got a lot of shit's happened this week. I guess probably the first thing, since I downloaded a bunch of effects for it, our dear baby pudgy boy Rush Limbaugh is dead.
Hell yeah!
Hell yeah, boy!
Is Rush Limbaugh alive?
Hell no! To the no, no, no!
So yeah, our guy is gone. Really a pioneer in the field of being a piece of shit. I don't really know what else there is to say about him. I mean, the man was awful, and it's funny and cool that he suffered and died. So I don't know. What do you guys have to say on old Rush?
You know what? I'm so caught up in it, in hearing that he's dead and just people making jokes about it. I don't think I actually heard how he... you know what? Fuck, it was lung cancer, wasn't it?
It was lung cancer, yeah.
Okay. I win.
You remember.
Literally the
Hooray.
Most fitting death.
Yeah. He, I keep seeing the joke about how he's pro-life and died anyway, which is, you know, very funny. It's a good one every time a conservative dies. That's an old classic. But,
it is an old classic, but, like, Rush is definitely the type of guy that, like, definitely paid for many secret abortions.
Oh, 100%. Like 1,000%, my dude. Yeah, absolutely. He definitely did, and you know, that's the beauty of being a rich guy, I guess. You can just be a hypocritical piece of shit, and it's, I mean, God knows the number of things he said about people, addicts and drug people over the years, and then turned around and he was a fucking pillhead, and you know.
Oh, I forgot about. Yeah.
Yeah, he went to fucking rehab for pills, like, you know, which would just be like a perfectly normal thing that happens to a person if you weren't Rush Limbaugh. Number one fuck you-er of everybody who, you know, has ever needed help or has ever been vulnerable in the entire fucking nation's population.
Yeah. When I was growing up, my dad used to play Rush Limbaugh, like, literally every day. Just, like, turn on the radio at, like, I think it was, like, 12 o'clock is when it was on.
Ugh.
It was on from, like, 12 to 3. His radio show was 3 fucking hours long. So fucking full of himself.
God, all of those fucking conservative guys. And he really did write the book on that, just being like, you know, the Alex Jones playbook, the fucking Ben Shapiro playbook. Like, all these guys that are, like, kind of the far-right shitheads now. He really did. He really, I mean, he was a pioneer. He was just a pioneer in, like, the worst thing you could be a pioneer in.
Yep.
Sucks, man. fucking sucks. And honestly, the world's better off without him, so that rocks.
What rocks is the fact that he made that joke about Eric Garner, and then he came out with his lung cancer diagnosis, like, not too long after that.
Yeah, I can breathe, because I follow the law. Is that what you were doing when you were bumping coke or whatever out of a hooker's ass, Raj? Like, following the law? God, what a fucking prick.
Is cocaine against the law?
Oh, I don't know. Good question. I don't know. I don't read.
Rich. Yeah.
Is anything against the law if you're rich? That's the real question.
Not if it's only punishable by a fine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There is one thing, and that is defrauding other rich people.
Mm.
Can't do that. Bernie Madoff proved that, and so did, what's his nuts? Jordan Belfort, the Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah. I saw him chiming in on the whole Wall Street Bets thing now that it, like, totally ran its course.
Wait, who? Jordan Belfort?
Yeah, yeah. He chimed in about the Wall Street Bets thing. He said that it was, like, he was like, you know, I thought it was awesome that, like, people were able to make, short squeeze hedge funds, and that they were able to make a little bit of money. But he also predicted exactly what would happen, which was that the hedge funds would just swap their positions around. The big funds, corporations like Citadel that control multiple hedge funds would be able to, like, hedge their hedge funds positions and actually come out on top, you know? And it would be, well, I think the words that he used would be like, it would be like catching a falling knife to try and make money on this once the price crashed. And that's exactly what happened. Like, people who didn't get out in time lost really big.
Fog. Damn, dude.
Yeah.
Hey, girl, I'd like to hedge your position. Is probably what he said.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah.
I was reading this article about, like, I guess there was one person who committed suicide because of the, like, they lost so much money. Another person who lost, like, $70,000.
Damn. Yikes. Yeah. Yikes, that's real money for the kind of people that invested in that.
Yeah. That's like bankruptcy money. You kidding me? 70 yeah. grand? Damn.
Yeah, no kidding. Lordy. So, Jack, you had mentioned wanting to do some house cleaning here on the your final takes on kind of the Wall Street thing. So, did you have anything else on that you really wanted to? You mentioned, you know, yeah, once that price crashed, it kind of the hedge funds were able to just move their shit around and avoid it, and it's exactly what they did.
Yeah. Well, and I think that, like, people. For a second there, people actually genuinely believed that, like, they were going to be able to cause a significant disruption in the market by doing that. And it just goes to show that, like, the scale of capital that exists in the stock market, people don't understand how little money they have in comparison to that.
Yeah.
Like, there are corporations and funds out there that control these ungodly amounts of capital that literally, even if you took all the money that all of, you know, however many couple million people you want to talk about that you're able to organize, you're not going to be able to wield enough capital to actually upset the apple cart.
Yep.
Absolutely. No, I absolutely agree with that. And, you know, and it's not just the amount of capital they have, it's the amount of influence that capital buys. You know, I think that the people who said it probably the smartest that I've heard was when the Chapo Trap House guys said, you know, oh, people, you know, people compare it to going to a casino and the house always wins. But, like, even a casino can't change the rules of poker halfway through your hand.
Yeah.
But the stock market can fucking pass legislation. You know, they can use... The large corporations on the New York Stock Exchange can wield their ungodly influence to pass legislation to just buy up whoever on any local, state, federal level, and therein lies the issue.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, you know, it goes to show that the government is by and for those people, yeah. right? That there's not a clear dividing line between these large... Once you get to that level, there's right. not a clear dividing line between the government and those people.
No, there's not. Not at all.
No.
You know, it's like how the senators all cashed out of all their stocks like a couple days before the COVID closures were all announced.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
The fuck are you going to do about it? Exactly. Oh, excuse me. The fuck are you going to do about it, man? It's going to be fun for like an episode and then we're going to get bored of it. Or maybe not. Just but, I don't know. I threw this one in there too for all the cum boys out there. Just a good little rock and roll guitar, baby.
I will literally never get bored of the siren sound that went, went, went out.
This one?
Oh, I'll never be bored of that.
You'll
love that
never
sound
get tired of that?
No.
Another podcast that I used to listen to. It was called Proles of the Round Table.
It's great,
it's discontinued now because they were like, it was honestly like one of the greatest Marxist-Leninist podcasts I've ever listened to. Like their knowledge of history, like they did like deep dives on like Soviet history and like the history of socialism around the world. It was really, really cool. And then it broke up over minor ideological differences between
what?
The podcast what? Hosts. Which,
when has like, the left ever broken up anything over minor ideological differences?
Like, it happened, and I was just like, oh, a really cool project destroyed by ideological differences. That's the most Marxist-Leninist thing I can think of.
Well, guys, just so you know, I am definitely too stupid to ever have minor enough differences that I will quit the show over them.
Yes. Yes.
Which is...
But, yeah, it's still archived on Libsyn. I definitely recommend it. Great podcast.
Hell yeah. I don't even know what I would use this air horn for. Just like dialectical materialism. It's the it's the Hegel like, horn.
That's what I was going with that. Every My time that they said like you know, his ass. Name on that podcast, they use that sound effect.
Wait, they use whose name?
Joseph Stalin. Anytime that they said Stalin's name, they'd be.
So I was going to say, every time we mention dialectical materialism, we can call it the Hegel horn.
Yes.
Nice.
Hell yeah. Get Fuck dunked yeah. on. Get dunked on, you old dead bitch. Now, I guess really the meat of what we're talking about tonight is the blackouts in Texas and in the flyover states. And I'm gonna explain it as best that I can, but if my hosts want to jump in and really hammer it home, that would be cool. But as far as I can tell, in a lot of parts of the South especially, gas lines are freezing up and wind turbines are freezing up because they weren't really designed to handle this kind of cold. And now because there's this large amount of power needed to heat homes in these parts of the countries that don't normally need that much heat, it is causing their grid to overpower, and they're having to basically do rolling blackouts like they did in Los Angeles in the summer when people needed air conditioning. Is that more or less, but they're doing it in dangerous cold weather. Is that more or less correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and it's like the only thing that I would add is that it's not that the wind turbines and the solar panels and such are not designed or can't work in the cold. It's that they cost more money to maintain in the wintertime, and there are winterization procedures that need to be followed to make sure that they are not damaged by the cold and that they can still be producing electricity during the wintertime, which are very expensive, and they are yearly maintenance costs that you must put in order to make them work correctly in the cold. But in Texas, the corporations that privately control the power grid decided that they were going to cut costs by
Very
not
cool.
winterizing infrastructure.
Great.
Similar to the way that the people in California decided that they were going to cut costs by not upgrading their power lines. And then eventually those power lines failed and caused massive wildfires that killed 80 people.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. And like they were actually held criminally liable for that, but of course nobody actually went to jail.
Yeah, so I mean, this is like, I think we can all agree that this is like some failed state type shit, right?
Oh yeah,
it is, absolutely.
So well, like, yeah, go ahead.
Like the fact that it shows not that just that like it's a failed state, but it shows the way that like more and more things are going to be turned over to private capital because more and more things are going to be turned over to private capital in order to keep profits up.
Yeah.
Right. The profitability crisis that is being experienced right now in the United States is really, really unprecedented. Like, if you look at the declining rate of profit in the United States, especially after all the disruptions in this last year, I mean, there are economists out there that are predicting that, like, the dollar could crash by as much as 35% by the end of this year.
Jesus.
You know? Yeah. And so, like, looking at that, the fact people are like, oh, you know, well, Texas voted Republican, and of course the Republicans are going to just turn over the power grid to the private corporations. And it's like, well, yes and no. Power grids all over the country have been being turned over to private corporations for a long time.
Decades,
because
yeah.
That's it's like privatization in general is part of the austerity package that is the neoliberal response to declining profits. They're trying to just literally fire sale public assets so that people can turn a quick buck on them. And that's like, and that's actually why a lot of municipalities too are starting to privatize their water after having in a lot of cases republicized it for a little while, because it's not good to let private corporations have control over things that people absolutely need, because as we see in Texas, they will extort people for them.
Yeah.
Like literally in Texas, these power companies created artificial scarcity by disconnecting Texas's power grid from the rest of the country's power grid.
Yeah.
And they did that. And then now that there's artificial scarcity, they are increasing prices. I was reading this article about this woman who, like, I guess there's a company in Texas that sells energy to people at the going wholesale rate, which is not something that usually, you know, companies do. Usually they sell you a standard megawatt hour charge, basically. But I guess in Texas, because there are literally no rules anymore that govern electricity, that this company is selling to people at the going wholesale rate, which usually saves them money when power is cheap.
Right.
And now that power is incredibly scarce because there's not very much production going on, these people were getting charged, it said, $9,000 per megawatt hour.
Jesus.
And to put that in context, before the storm hit, it was $50. So they were getting charged about $500
that
a day to run electricity.
Monstrous evil.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. What the fuck? And they can just do that. There's no protection in place.
No, there's no protections in place because Texas totally, a lot of places have privatized power grids, but there's still regulations about them. But in Texas, that is just not the case. I mean, it's just been ruled by Republicans for so long that they've totally deregulated it. And now they are in this position where they have these power companies that are profiteering like that. Like, they were talking about it's possible that people, even after the power grid comes back on, people are not going to be able to reconnect for very long because they're not going to be able to afford it.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Fucking hell. I know that you mentioned that it could, John, I know you mentioned earlier today that it could upset some of the financial stuff elsewhere even.
Oh, yeah.
So do you want to go into that a little bit? At least what you can?
So this is obviously, I'm not going to talk about anybody specific, but
yeah.
So at my job, I work for a mortgage lender. We have, you know, many loan closings that happen every single day across the United States because we are a national company.
Sure.
So in the state of Texas, there is a law when you are dealing with mortgages, whether it be purchasing a home or refinancing, you know, anything like that, getting equity out of your home.
Mm-hmm.
It has to close at an attorney's office.
Yeah.
So normally this can happen, like if you're doing it with a realtor or something like that, you could potentially do it at their office, like in another state. Or, you know, what a lot of people do now is a title company will hire a notary to go to the closing. So a mobile notary will just document everything, then submit that back to the title company immediately.
Sure.
So especially in the digital age, with being able to do that, you know, they can just scan everything in and just send it over in an email within an hour. So, anyway, so because of these blackouts across Texas, they don't, you know, they can't coordinate with everybody. They have said we're absolutely not doing any kind of Texas closings. They have to be postponed. So of course this fucks over not even, you know, not just the people who are, you know, taking out the loans, but also the people that are working on them too, because that like affects like our numbers that we need to meet on our end too.
Yeah, and it screws over the people that like are trying to like get into their new houses and stuff, like,
right, so all that kind of stuff, and like, so, and that will create a chain reaction too with not just the people that are purchasing the house, but the people that are selling the home as well, because most likely they are purchasing a new home and probably requiring the financing from that subsequent sale.
Sure.
So yeah, it fucks over a whole massive web of people from this.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But now there's like, you can see that the home that they were purchasing is even intact. Like, Jenna, yep. Jenna watches a lot of TikTok, right? And she was showing me these insane videos that people were posting to TikTok of their pipes freezing because they didn't know that pipes freeze. And so people literally were just like, I have no idea what is going on, but suddenly there is water coming from my ceiling and it's freezing. Right?
Yeah.
And so people are posting these videos of like their houses all flooded out and like massive icicles hanging from their ceilings and stuff. And they're just like, we don't know what's happening. And people are like, your pipes froze.
Yeah. People who have never had to experience that, regions of the country that that's just not a thing.
Yeah.
Well, I saw something that was really insane on somebody's TikTok. So she's in this 7-story parking garage and, you know, not that many people are actually using it. So like the top 2 stories are not being used. So she parks her car up there. She goes back down the next day and there is a massive pillar of ice that just connects to her car and nowhere else in the entire garage. But like her entire car is like frozen in an icicle connected to the ceiling.
Jesus.
Like, I'm really curious, like, was it just bad timing that she was there? Or, probably. Like, did the heat of her car do something? Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Well, and again, I think a lot of the problems are stemming from the fact that in Texas, there are not a lot of regulations. Deregulation is the name of the game.
Oh, yeah.
So people are finding out that they're... home builders or the people that built their buildings didn't insulate their pipes because they weren't required to. In Ohio, you need to insulate pipes,
Jack,
that are on exterior walls.
Jack, I got a pipe you can insulate right here, buckaroo.
Oh, you probably should have bleeped that one out.
I got a, you can insulate right here, you you damn, I'm sorry, yeah, for my outburst.
It goes to show that this whole like deregulation shtick is just total bullshit. It really just fucks people over.
Yeah, it doesn't. Absolutely nothing has ever gotten like better for the common person because it was privatized or because it was corporatized in some way. It might make some people at the top money, but like everybody, especially from like the upper middle class on down, never fucking benefits from any kind of privatization. I mean, like, from healthcare to fucking all, I mean, to public utilities, like, it's just a mess. And it's never intended, despite what anybody from fucking Joe Biden to Mitch McConnell says, it's never intended to actually benefit society in any way. It is about profit. And that is the thing we have to keep reminding people, is that, like, deregulation was never, never, ever, ever actually designed to benefit you.
Yeah. Well, and you tie it back to people's class interests, you know, how, you know, talking to them about how in your position, if you can't afford to take the losses on it, if it doesn't work out,
right,
you know, versus people that have massive capital, it's like, well, yeah, they'll be fine when all the pipes bust. They'll just go to the fucking Ramada that is charging $1,000 a night for a one-bed hotel room. Yeah. They don't care. And you're going to start seeing that a lot more in the United States as this whole climate change deal drags on. This decade is about to be fucking wild. We are going to see a lot more shit like this stuff in Texas start happening, and it's going to happen multiple times a year in multiple different areas of the country, and it's going to cause trillions of dollars in damage.
Yeah.
And as that I would not be surprised if insurance companies don't need to start getting bailed out despite the amount of capital that they control, because there is going to be so much damage to the crumbling infrastructure from climate change.
Yeah. I mean, our infrastructure was never that good to begin with, but it's really as we burn fossil fuels and as we continue on this insane ramp towards planet death, what can you really say except that, yeah, it's only going to get worse, and that it's only going to get more brutal, and that our nothing about capitalist government is designed to handle it.
Yeah.
That's
why. Well, and not just like capitalist government, but like the way that society is structured in general, the poor and the working class are going to see their conditions in particular deteriorate, because they're not going to be able to bounce back from continuing to get hit like that over and over and over and over again.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
And so I was actually reading this article earlier this week about climate refugees from California, and about how like people are like Midwest and flyover state cities are complaining about their property values being, you know, about their cities basically being gentrified by people who are leaving California in droves.
Yeah. And it's going to continue to happen. And I think I've said that before, that, you know, people, they really need to stop writing fucking articles saying, you know, Cincinnati's the next New York, or like Columbus, Ohio's the next Los Angeles, whatever, you know, Chicago or whatever. It's like, bitch, shut the fuck up. Like, don't let the people, when New York's underwater, I don't want Manhattan, Brooklyn moving here.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm just kidding. You can come on. You can come hang out. We'll podcast together. We'll podcast, Anita.
Well, it's not the people, but it's like, dude, there's nowhere else to build in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
All the land is taken up.
The property values are just, they're going to go ridiculous through the roof here. You're right, probably.
Up to like the northern suburbs like Mason, Westchester, Hamilton, and they just keep building up into the farmland that's up there.
Yeah, I know. I've heard people say that like, It could get to the point in the next couple decades where like the line between Cincinnati and Dayton is like virtually indistinguishable. It's just been built up all like so heavy, just all the way up that river, you know, like all the way up to Miami there.
Yeah, it'd be like the Twin Cities in Minnesota.
Yeah, where they're just on top of each other.
Yeah, but that's assuming that Dayton isn't just going to crumble and fall into the river, which it is.
Because... Rest in peace. Dayton's dead, 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 dead. Dayton is dead.
So, Jack, how do you feel about that statement as somebody who lives around there?
He's the one who made
Dayton
the statement.
Really is dead, man. I think we've had, like, I'm interested to see the census data and see exactly how many people have left Dayton over the course of the past decade, because, like, the housing crisis and the opiate epidemic just absolutely leveled this place like an atom bomb. So I'm really interested to see when they come out with the census data exactly how many people left over the course of the past 10 years.
Me buying a property in Dayton for pennies on the dollar.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
Why do you think I was able to afford a house up here, okay? I don't make any money. They still let me buy one. It's that cheap.
Damn, dude. Maybe I'm in the wrong spot. Maybe I need to move to Dayton.
Yeah. There's just not a lot of jobs up here anymore, you know? Like, what happened in Dayton, too, was that there was a massive GM plant that a lot of people worked at that got shut down and outsourced. Oh, yeah. And now there's, like, this... glass company in there called Fuyao that are based out of China, and apparently they're not so good about their OSHA regulations, and they have a couple people that have like died on the shop floor and stuff.
Great.
Like, yeah.
Wow, you love to hear that. Awesome.
And they like use temp labor. They like hire temps for like 89 days and then lay them off.
Wow, you love to see it.
Yeah.
Very
it's
cool.
Real shitty.
Very cool. Hey girl, I'm going to lay you off. Is what they would say probably. So getting back to the subject of climate change, I know Jenna wanted to jump in at some point here and talk about. So I want to talk a little bit about like how kind of the end times have played out differently than what we expected from movies and TV and other things, because we always like to throw that cultural aspect in there. So I know that we talked about The Day After Tomorrow earlier today in the chat, the classic Jake Gyllenhaal joint that we all remember and love. And I know Jenna had some takes, so I don't know, is she there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's up?
So, yeah, like Jack had mentioned, you guys were going to talk about what was going on in Texas, and then he also mentioned, you know, we were talking about everything that happened, and I made the comment about how, you know, it was crazy, because in 2004, A Day After Tomorrow came out, and, like, it was so crazy, because I remember, like, I told you guys before, like, my first public call to action against climate change was 2001,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you've been on this tip a long time.
Yeah, and, like, those 3 years, I was not, like, quiet about it,
right?
Like, I was like, guys, like, the evidence, and, like, read this, like, article that I printed out for the entire school. And, like, I was really passionate about it. And, yeah, like, for reference for people at home, like, I graduated in a class of, like, I think it was 130 kids. It was my graduating class. So my like entire high school had as many people in it as Jack's graduating class had.
Right.
So extremely small, conservative hometown, right?
Yeah.
And so it was so interesting to see when that movie came out, like, everybody instantly turned on me. Like, they weren't kind before.
Wow.
But they instantly turned on me, and they were like, this is what Jenna believes is going to happen.
Yeah.
Because in the movie, you know, it depicts, like, a couple of the events, and, like, a big one was, like, the North was going to get frozen, and, like, tons of crazy things happened, like, all at once, but it was, like, almost like this switch was flipped in the movie.
Yeah.
Where, like, oh my gosh, there's this crazy event that's happening, and, you know, everybody in the southern states evacuate to Mexico, and everybody in the north state, like, oh crap, you're probably gonna die. Like, so there, that dichotomy between the articles that I was reading that were saying things like, we could experience a blue ocean event by 2060.
Right.
Or, you know, 2105 was going to be, like, the craziest drought that we had ever seen. And so, like, I genuinely, I don't fault the kids as much, because when you're a child and you hear 2105, you're just like, well, I'm going to be dead. Like, what's the point?
Yeah.
And I was always this, like, advocate for, like, it sounds corny when I say it, but, like, as a little kid, I was like, we have to respect our mother, man. Because, like, I grew up in, like, a very liberal household.
Sure.
Now, you know, I've since seen the errors of my ways and, like, have, you know, come around. But, like, that was not the norm. So, kids in my school, I remember I wrote a it was like a freestyle poem almost for like a class, and everybody clowned me. And I remember, like, I was talking about the draining of aquifers and how crazy it was to me that there were companies who were making money on making waste. Yeah. Right? Because when you think about a bottle of water, you're not actually paying for the water.
Right.
You're paying for the plastic bottle. Yeah. And the craziest part to me, like, I just recently read an article that was saying, like, for years and years and years and years, these water bottle companies knew that their plastic was not recyclable, and they, like, deceived the public anyway.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, continued to make trillions of tons of waste that went into, you know, the ocean, which, a blue ocean event is bad for everybody. Like, a blue ocean event is absolutely terrifying. It was 2060. Now reports are, like, I saw 2050, and I saw 2045. Like, Lord. The it's accelerating, and that's what's infuriating to me. People who are climate change deniers, how can you have all of this evidence in front of you and still just have your head in the sand? I mean, polar bears, like, there are pictures of polar bears absolutely emaciated because they cannot stand on the ice and hunt like they used to. And now Alaska's like, we have a polar bear problem. Like, yeah, their ice is gone. They're starving. Yep. They want to eat some Alaskans, okay? And they're like, oh, these murder mitts have come into our town. What are we supposed to do? Like, it's so insane to me. It's so insane to me. And I wrote about all of these things. And I literally remember at one point in time saying, save the polar bears, save the whales. And I got so clowned on that. Even the teachers of this small town joined in, y'all.
Damn.
Whoa, fuck.
So it was,
what you're saying is it was kind of rude that you ended up being right about everything.
I don't want to be right about it. I didn't want to be right about it. Like, I wanted to be like Greta Thunberg and be like, guys, like, we have to act now. And, like, the same things that they're saying about Greta, like, I've heard all of them, and I'm so disheartened by all of it. And, like, it's so, I mean, it's so sad.
Yeah.
I also remember, like, I wrote specifically, like, rich people will have nothing to burn but money to stay warm, and parents will burn their children's crib in an effort to do the same for their children. Yeah. And I literally saw that on a TikTok of a family in Texas literally burning their child's crib, and somebody in the comments is saying, I don't think that the VOC on that is great for the environment. Like, wow. Are you?
Oh, now we care about the environment. Very cool.
It's wild. Like, this entire thing is wild. It's only going to get more wild. Like, talking to our children about it today, like, explaining in, like, age-appropriate terms about how there are, you know, these evil power companies in Texas who are making it so that brown and black families are dying. And, like, my kids are like, well, are white families dying too? And I'm like, yes, but, like, you know, it's going by, you know, areas of town that are
poor,
lower income.
Yeah.
And then I have to, like, look at them and be like, which, by the way, is our area. Like, if yep. they just decide, oh, hey, let's turn off the power to, like, black and brown neighborhoods, like, guess who lives in a black and brown neighborhood?
Oh, yeah.
We do. And so, like, explaining to the kids, like, it's not just about us being okay. It's not just about, like, us being in the snowstorm and us staying warm and us having food and us having power. It's about knowing that this is happening to other people, knowing that this is going to happen again, and understanding that, like, now is not the time for personal accountability. Now is the time for corporate accountability. They need to be held accountable for the evil that they're committing.
Absolutely.
They need to be absolutely ashamed.
Yeah.
Anybody who has more than $1 million, like, they need to be ashamed of what they're doing. And you and I, baby, we have to be the ones to hold these people accountable, because the system doesn't care. The system doesn't care. The system doesn't care that 30 people have died from either exposure or carbon monoxide poisoning because they're trying to keep their families warm.
No.
They don't care that the hospital is admitting people for carbon monoxide poisoning, putting them on a little bit of oxygen, and then kicking them back out into the cold. They don't care. The corporations are not your friend.
You're damn right.
And now is the time for mutual aid. And we, absolutely, as leftists, need to get our shit together. Because if you think this is bad, like Jack said, the coming decade is going to blow your mind.
It is going to blow our minds, absolutely. I don't disagree with that at all. It's just, the brutality is already so draconian, and when the resources get more scarce, you can't help but be a little bit terrified about what that's going to bring. And I agree.
I mean, yes. How do you feel? Like, really, listeners, just, like, listen to my screeching and just imagine, like, and feel. How do you feel about the fact that an Apple store empty in the middle of the night has power, but there is a family with little babies or elderly or
sick people,
medically vulnerable
people, which is so many people right now, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, how does that make you feel?
People dying of fucking COVID don't have fucking power.
Like, you can't just go over to grandma's house if she has power. How are you supposed to social distance? I mean, how does that make you feel?
Yeah.
How does that make you feel?
How do you even get
there? What the fuck are we going to do?
You're damn
right. What the fuck are we going to do?
Here, fucking here. Absolutely. And that's where we've got to come together and figure out what the way forward is. And I certainly hope that this podcast can be a sounding horn for all of these ideas. I hope to get more, and especially, you know, we're doing it all kind of virtually now. I'm hoping to get more interviews and things going on, trying to, especially more people who are attached to organizations who are doing mutual aid and things like that. So hopefully we'll have more of that coming down the pipes as well.
Absolutely.
That would be great. How are we doing?
I think, like, talking about, like, the way that, like, the Hollywood movies kind of portray these disasters, like, and it's just kind of like, I think, part of the medium of film itself, but they always sort of portray one disaster, right? Like, there's a movie about a deadly pandemic, and there's a movie about climate change.
Or
there's
zombie a movie apocalypse. About
zombie apocalypse or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? But, like, what's actually happening is the fact that there was a global pandemic, and so people were out of their jobs because the economic system crashed, because that's what happens. And so you have the economic crisis on top of the disease crisis, and now you have the weather crisis, and it's going to keep, that's what's going to happen, is it's going to be five different things at once. It's compounding crisis.
It's
going to
be The Day After Tomorrow and Stephen King's The Stand and The Road and all of the other ones all at once.
Yeah.
For sure. John, you've been quiet. You got any the takes on post-apocalyptic movies and how the real thing's playing out?
Well, I actually wanted to chime in when we were talking about the polar bears coming down, like, too far into Alaska. There's this movie. It's the stupidest fucking movie. Like,
that's,
do not bother
live,
watching
John.
It.
What do you mean coming down too far in Alaska? That's where they live. Leave them alone.
Like, into the towns and shit.
I'm kidding.
Into the quote-unquote populated areas of Alaska.
It's like people who are like shark-infested waters. That's where they live. Leave them alone.
But
I'm
yeah,
sorry.
No.
Continue.
Okay, so the This movie, there's like this island in the Arctic Ocean, not in the Arctic Ocean, but it's very far north, like into like deep north Canada. And they find this polar bear on the island. And they're like, well, hang on, the polar bear shouldn't be here. This is, you know, like, this is too far south for where it should be. Like in its normal range this time of the year, especially coming onto an island.
Yeah.
They find it eating like a mammoth in the ice, and it uncovers like this stupid parasite thing. And it's a really dumb movie, but that made me think of that. But yeah, it ended up being like a whole pandemic because of the parasite. And yeah, so it kind of worked.
So polar bear zombies is what I'm hearing.
No, they're like little parasites that basically just like reproduce extremely quickly and devour everything.
How did they get in the humans?
What happened? So the polar bear got infested from eating the mammoth. The polar bear was in their morgue, and then the bugs just like swarmed over it and just kind of got everybody, and then it spread because birds were getting it and went all over the place.
Ugh. I feel like there's only one proper response to that. Parasites and...
Hell no! To the no, no, no!
That's all I can say to that.
Yeah, no, it's real fucking stupid. The only thing I have to say is that Val Kilmer's in it, so that's all you have to know.
Oh, hell yes. I love Val the Pal, dude. Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's a real piece of work.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I love Tombstone, man. Whatever. Great film. Great piece of media. Maybe we should do that. We should have like a Dudes Rock movie night and just watch Tombstone or something.
Yeah, we should totally do that.
I don't think I've ever actually seen Tombstone. I've seen all the memes about it, but I don't think I've ever actually seen
it. Oh, man, that movie rocks. It's just cowboys and guns and southern accents that aren't very convincing. It's great, dude. Like, I love it. Man, oh, man.
Do you have a sound for that? Soundboard for that?
For Tombstone? No. Oh, man, yeah. That would be awesome. I should.
The fucking, what is it? The I'll be your Huckleberry.
I'll be your Huckleberry. I'll add that to this. Let's see if I can find it real quick and add it. Huckleberry.
I'm your Huckleberry.
I found it.
I'm your Huckleberry.
Hold on. This is real. This is real time movie magic, baby.
I'm your Huckleberry.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
You said movie magic, and I also wanted to like just touch on something really quick.
Please do.
I think that it's interesting that, Hollywood tends to kind of depict natural disaster movies, like, in this outlandish way. And Jack and I were talking about it, I don't know when we were, but we were talking about it. And he mentioned an interesting take about how, like, Hollywood purposefully does that. Do you want to tell the viewer, or the listeners?
I was just thinking that the other day, actually.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, it's made to look so over-the-top ridiculous that people are just like, "Woo! Good thing that could never happen."
Yeah.
You mentioned, like, the waste of movies playing into that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that, like, you know, Hollywood, just like any other industry, has a vested interest in trying to deflect actual change from happening, because guess what would happen in a consciously eco-socialist society? You think there would be movies that were taking up the kind of budgets and the kind of carbon footprint and the kind of resources that Hollywood blockbusters are right now?
This is absolutely where we need not. Ron to like tell us about the like the food, like the buffet tables that he was talking about, like how crazy that was and how much food waste is used.
Oh yeah,
and just like the craft just services that and the aspect of it.
Yeah, that alone, not to mention, you know, the props that I'm sure are made of lots of non-site recyclable materials and just, all that shit, man. The vehicles on set and all of that.
Right.
Yeah. Like people, and a lot of these pieces of media are sort of billed as being anti-establishment, you know, their build is being like, oh, well, look at this like scathing critique of like the system and how it's gonna, you know, kill us all and blah. And it's like, But what they actually serve to do is to sort of like deflect the real existential terror that people feel about climate change into like, oh, well, you know, I'm just going to go watch a ridiculous movie and like pretend that this thing that's so outlandish that could never actually happen is what's going to happen, instead of facing down the fact that I'm living through a slow motion natural disaster.
Right. I'm living through the same thing on a 10-year scale.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Instead of an hour and a half.
I mean, and y'all have noticed how high food prices have gotten.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what if next year the crops fail? Like, I'm not wishing that upon us, but, like, they're digging up bodies at Stonehenge and opening up Egyptian sarcophagus. So who's to say what kind of ancient
earth? Hang on. They dug up bodies at Stonehenge?
Yeah.
What?
Wait, did they find black goo in another? Did they find black goo in another coffin? Because I've volunteered to drink the black goo to save humanity on numerous occasions.
You know,
I've written
what?
To the Smithsonian.
I have not seen that, but I will keep my eye out so that I can let you know who to contact.
Me walking into the damn Smithsonian, like,
I'm your huckleberry.
That's staying on the soundboard forever. Damn. I can't fucking believe that the website I used had that. That rocks.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, I mean, like, these events, right? Like, okay, there was just a tornado here.
Yeah.
Like, okay, now there's a economic crash. Then the crops fail. I mean, like...
And in every single scenario, what you see is the same
pattern. The bourgeoisie getting rich?
Yeah. You know, there's people that profiteer off of it, and yep. There's people that have the money to survive it, and there's the vast majority of people who are very literally left to die. I mean, like, right now we're talking about electricity prices, which, like, at the end of the day, high electricity prices are going to decrease the living standards of a lot mm-hmm. of people, mm-hmm. but that's not, you don't need electricity to live. What happens when grain
in
prices
Texas
go
they do
high,
though in Texas
well,
I literally
yeah, Texas
want I literally want people to think about, okay, if they're cutting prices when there's like a massive snowstorm, what about when Texas is experiencing 120 degree summers? Because that's the thing, you know. Oh, air conditioning? Everybody's going to have air conditioning? No. This is the start of an, like, this evil, like, we're getting a peek behind this veil yeah. of just evil greed.
And the
right
third
now.
World, yeah. make no mistake, climate change is going to bring the third world home in the worst God. Way possible. The shit, the exploitation we see in the third world where people don't have running water, don't have electricity, you bet your ass that's exactly what's going to start happening in the... It's already happening in the poorest and yeah. most destitute parts of this country.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's going to start happening in places that used to be middle class.
Yeah.
I like it now in Texas.
You're damn right it is, and that's the mess of it. It's, ugh.
Because Apple stores have electricity.
Thank fucking Christ.
Because we gotta keep the Apple stores, the alarm system going. God forbid somebody come and steal material goods that's a computer. God forbid we lose one computer. I'm so heated, and if you aren't heated, I don't know how. I don't understand how you aren't.
I mean, I'm sweaty, like, but I think that's because I've been drinking.
It's just, I cannot understand how people can honestly, like, look at, like, Texas as, like, this isolated event, which I think is something that a lot of climate change deniers tend to do.
Yeah.
Is like, oh, it's this freak storm. Well, it's actually been projected by this study, and this study that said with the weakening polar vortex, the storms were going to start coming further south.
Yeah.
And Alaska is literally like, hey guys, it's really warm. Like, this is not great. It's really warm. What's yeah. going on?
Dangerously warm.
Yeah, well, and it's like people are like, oh, well, because one of the, like, things that people who deny climate change say is like, well, who says that a warm climate is bad? And it's like, well, no, a rapidly warming climate would result in an unstable surface temperatures. Like, the total global average temperature can be rising while temperatures on the surface fluctuate rapidly. And actually, the rapid fluctuations in temperature are what cause things like freak storms and crop failures and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, mark my words, last year when we were planting our garden, we had like an unseasonably like weird frost. Like the frost, let's try again. The typical, like, average last frost date for Ohio is April 17th. I had over 80 tomato plants planted, and what day was it? It was Memorial Day. There was a freak frost, and it killed the plants. Like, farmers last year were talking about how late they had to plant their fields, and how if you plant late and you don't let your crops dry in time in the fall, then they have to pay extra money to send their crops to a machine that will dry the corn and the soybeans. And that affects food prices. We've seen that in the price of like processed foods. Yeah. We've also seen that in the price of beef. I mean, beef prices are
exorbitant right now.
Yeah.
So, like, we're already seeing these, like, quote-unquote isolated events, and they're starting to stack on top of each other. And I just wonder, when are we going to say, oh, got it, like, we shouldn't be doing these things anymore? And I understand, and I hope that you do too, listener, that means that our lifestyles are going to have to change, and we're going to have to make some sacrifices, because we cannot keep going and living the lifestyle that we're living.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, and you're not going to be able to. That's the thing. You're not going to be able to. The average person isn't going to be able to afford it. And like I said, when this stuff starts happening more and more in places that were previously middle class, and people that used to consider themselves middle class find themselves bankrupted by these natural disasters and destitute and thrown back into a proletarian lifestyle where they have to pay these exorbitant rents, and they find out what side of the class divide they're really on. Because a lot of these people, both liberals and conservatives in the mainstream, have that class, that petty bourgeois class solidarity with the bourgeoisie, right?
Yep.
They believe that they are, the quote, like, they think that they're all temporarily embarrassed millionaires. Versus, on the one hand, these disasters are going to break some of that petty bourgeois class solidarity, and it's up to us to be able to convince people that working class solidarity is the answer, because the other answer is reactionary fascism and resource hoarding and prepping and all that nonsense.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. We're coming up on the hour here, y'all. Do we have any final thoughts? John, do you want to start?
Fuck Rush Limbaugh.
All right. Very cool.
There was supposed to be an air horn there.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Hell yeah!
Hell yeah, boy!
Got him.
I saw this thing that said that there's a new gender-neutral bathroom available on Rush Limbaugh's grave, so enjoy, kiddies.
Suck a dick.
Perfect. I guess my thoughts other than that would just be, just be on the lookout for that kind of stuff in the financial market, you know, if, you know, for whatever you need, like if you're needing to get some sort of loan or financing, like, I mean, as we've said, this is like a whole big chain reaction web, you know, happening right now in many different facets of life. Just be prepared the best you can.
Hell yeah. Be prepared. Jack and Jenny, you guys got anything?
The best way to be prepared is to know your neighbors and to be able to share resources with the people around you.
Great. Love that.
Which is really easy to do during COVID, too. So.
Yeah.
That's true. You know, we've got a lot of, the cards are definitely stacked against us in the mutual aid thing. You know, you can talk about mutual aid orgs all day long, and yeah, they do great work, but as more and more resources get concentrated toward the top of the economic pyramid, there's going to be fewer and fewer, you know, resources are going to become actually scarce for people, you know, and it's going to be tougher and tougher for us to organize any sort of mutual aid without actually having infrastructure that we build ourselves to back it up.
Yep. You're absolutely right. We got to build parallel institutions. Absolutely. Go ahead, Jenna.
My closing thought is 100 companies cause 90% of climate change. Do with that information what you will.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do with it. Play the sad-ass violin, baby.
Spence a day, you too can...
Yeah, and I guess my final thoughts are basically just... Yeah, guys, things are going to get worse. I think we talk about that a lot on this show, and the only way out is through, which I feel like I say that a lot. And we need to be ready to help our neighbors when they need help, because they are going to need our help quite soon. And if not already, in many cases. So I think that's a good place to leave it. I want to thank both of my co-hosts once again for being on. I want to thank Jenna for being on again. This has been awesome, as per usual.
Yeah, we love having you.
And
thank you for having me.
Thank you, everybody. And on my honor, I will do my best to smash capitalism. Good night.